Dear fellow redeemed, grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our portion of scripture for this morning is recorded in John's Gospel. We read chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. I invite you to stand for the reading of this lesson. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Dear Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are the truth. We ask that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I'm sure that you have sat for your fair share of examinations in your lifetime, especially if you've gone through high school and college. I know I have. Many times, the exams that I would sit for in those later schooling sections would have quite a few different parts to them. For example, Section A, multiple choice. Section B would be short answer. Section C, the essay question. You kind of look through it quickly when you first sit down. Okay, all right, a multi-choice, yeah, I can do that. Short answer, essay, yeah, I know what I'm going to do for the essay question. Okay, good. And so then you start off with the multi-choice. That's always the easiest one to get done. You get through your multi-choice. And for me, it would sometimes go like this. I'd start answering the short answer question. Question one, okay, I know that one. Question two, yeah, got that. Question three. Question three. Boy, I remember that class. What is that? Ah, boy, that's right on the edge. What? Ah, I'll leave that one. I'll keep going. I'll come back to the one. Question four, question five, six. Okay, question three. Boy, I just can't think. I know, I'll do my essay. Get the essay, write it out. Okay, all done there. Multi-choice done there. Question three. And I found myself looking up and seeing everyone else busily writing and thinking, what is the answer to that one? That's a tough question. Can't quite remember. And sometimes I would, by thinking about it enough, be able to work out what it was and give some kind of an answer. And sometimes I would just make something up. But those tough questions, those challenging questions, they were always a frustration in exams. I'm sure you've experienced very similar frustrations. Well, today in our lesson, we see that Jesus asks his disciples a very challenging question. Jesus' disciples at this point had been with Jesus for around 2 years. So they already had probably learned many things from Jesus. Maybe he had asked them quite a few questions in the past. But this question had them stumped. They saw a large crowd of people walking towards them, 5,000 men, we're told, not counting the women and children. And Jesus said to them, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Wow, what a question. But you know, this question isn't just for the 12 disciples. It wasn't just for them. But in a sense, this question is also for you and for me today. We also need to know the answer to this question. Where shall we buy bread? We see that it's a challenging question today, but we also see that there's a powerful answer. When you have an exam, what's the purpose of the questions on the exam? Is it that the teacher just wants the students to suffer? Is that the purpose of questions? Some might think so. Generally, that's not the purpose of those questions, but rather the teacher is trying to find out what the student knows and understands, and normally with the hope of being able to lead them on to further knowledge and understanding. And so too, Jesus tests his disciples today with a challenging question. But this question was also to see what they knew and understood. Now, Jesus is God. He is omniscient. He already knew what they knew. The benefit was for the disciples, and Jesus also knew that the Holy Spirit was recording this, and so it was also for you and me to be able to see what the disciples knew, with the purpose that Jesus could then lead them on to greater understanding. I think it's also important with this miracle to understand the timeline of events. When we look at the other gospel accounts, we can get a full picture of the timeline of events. They see the crowd coming towards them, walking towards them. A great crowd. One commentator said 5,000 men, there were probably just as many women and just as many children. Could have been 15,000 people there. That's a huge crowd. Jesus asks the question of Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" But then we're told that Jesus did something. We read about this last week in the lesson, that Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he taught them many things. Jesus starts teaching them. In fact, he taught them for many hours. Another account tells us that it was in the evening, getting towards the evening, late in the day. Think about that. The disciples had all of this time to wrestle with the question, what are we going to give them to eat? Now, you've got to remember, they were at the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee, away from any towns. They were in a wilderness area. There were no HEBs or Panera Breads nearby for them to go and quickly get a truckload of bread. The disciples, first of all, and one of the other accounts says, they came back to Jesus with the response for him, the answer. They said, "Let's send the people away and have them buy their own meal." That was their first response. And Jesus responded to them, "No, the people don't have to leave. You give them something to eat." He was testing them again. And then it's very likely that it's right here that Philip gives his response. He had had quite a bit of time to think about this, and he says, 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough to even give everyone just a small amount of food, just a bite of food. 200 denarii, it says in the Greek, which is a denarius was one about one day's wages. That's a lot of money, Philip had worked out. Wouldn't be enough to give everyone a little bit of food. And then Andrew had found a young boy and says, well, here's five small barley loaves, which was kind of a, you know, the common person's bread. It wasn't the best bread. And two small fish. But what's this amongst so many people? He offered up those things, but with just as hopeless a feeling in his response. It seems that the disciples had failed the challenging question. It was a very difficult question, and they had failed with their response. You do realize that Jesus sometimes allows you to have challenging questions in your life, don't you? You do realize that sometimes Jesus tests you. You do realize that, don't you? Sometimes Jesus allows these questions to come into your life, difficult questions, barriers that come up, obstacles in your life that seem to, you know, your life seems to be rolling along well, and then all of a sudden it's halted by this obstacle that comes up. Or maybe it even feels like you're going backwards for a time. These difficult questions. Why doesn't my house sell? Lord, I've accepted the fact that I'm going to lose money on it. Why doesn't it just sell? I need to move on with my life. Why did I get fired from my job? I was actually thinking that I was about to get a promotion. Now here I am, I'm fired, I'm without work. Why? Why am I getting acne? I had such clear skin. Why? Why doesn't she respond to my messages? I thought things were going well. I really like her. Why doesn't she respond? And then the challenging financial questions that come up in our lives. Where did this bill come from? And this is where we kind of supply the answer similar to what the disciples supplied. 8 months' wages isn't going to pay for that one. Or maybe we take it from the other perspective when we go, this is all I have. But what's this when I've got all of these expenses coming up in my future? Challenging questions. And the Lord, He wants you to live not by sight, but by faith. Fortunately, like the disciples, we sometimes fail with these questions. We do live by sight. We walk by sight rather than walking by faith. You know what happens when we walk by sight? We walk by sight, we only see the earthly things in front of us. We fail to see what God has in store for us, which is just around the corner, the blessing that He has waiting for us. We fail to see that. And when we walk just by sight, those obstacles end up becoming very disheartening to us and frustrating to us and discouraging to us. In fact, it's actually a sin when we allow that to happen, because we aren't putting our trust in Jesus. It's demonstrating a lack of faith. Jesus wants you to look beyond. He wants you to get beyond thinking just in terms of mere earthly human solutions to that obstacle. And He wants you to consider the possibilities, the divine possibilities. What might the Almighty God have in store around the corner? What are some solutions He may have? And to be patient and wait. Ultimately, Jesus was getting the disciples to put their trust in Him. And ultimately, that's what He wants you to do when He allows challenging questions, test questions to come into your life. To have faith in Jesus. He is the one who has the words of eternal life. He is the one that has the eternal solutions. And that was it. Jesus was the answer. Jesus is the powerful answer. We read from verse 10. Jesus then steps in with His answer. He says, "Have the people sit down." Now it was springtime there, so there was plenty of nice green grass. in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them, we're told. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Jesus took those loaves, which Andrew had just been kind of looking at quite negatively. He took those loaves, and then it's very easy for us to just kind of gloss over the next words. What does he do? He gave thanks. He thanked the Lord for this small amount of food that he had. And then the miracle began. He distributed. He gave from that food. And he gave. And he gave. And he kept giving. And the more he gave, there was still supply of more of that food. It was a miracle. And if that wasn't enough, then at the end of it, after everyone had eaten until they were full, Jesus told his disciples to go around and collect the leftover. Not just so that he wasn't wasteful, but also to demonstrate to the disciples what a marvelous miracle had just taken place. There was more food left over at the end than what they had started with. What an amazing miracle Jesus had performed. This was his powerful answer. What does Jesus want us to learn from this miracle? He wanted the disciples to learn this and the people to learn it. He also wants you and I to learn from this miracle. What does he want us to learn from this? Well, there's a number of things. First of all, that Jesus is the Son of God. That's a theme that runs through all of the miracles that Jesus performed. John says at the end of his gospel that these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you may have life in his name. He is the Son of God, the Christ who has come. Even the people recognized this. They said, "He's a prophet." Referring back to Moses' words from Deuteronomy 18, where he promised that there would be a prophet who would come, referring to the Messiah. The people recognized that Jesus was different from everyone else, special. Secondly, Jesus wants you to understand that the laws of physics are no obstacle for him. You and me, where we become bound by the laws of physics. We see these obstacles, we see what's in front of us, and we let ourselves be bound by those things. Jesus is the Son of God, and so therefore he's above those laws. Maybe 15,000 people? Not a problem for the Son of God. And I want you to realize also that this still applies to you today. Jesus is above those laws. For whatever problem you have, he can supply the answer if he wants to. Sometimes he does. He takes that problem away and removes it. Sometimes he allows it to stay because he wants you to steer in a different direction, and that leads you around the corner to that blessing that he has awaiting for you from the Father. I know that you probably have problems in your life that you are wrestling with at the moment. Know that Jesus is the solution to those problems. He is your powerful answer. He wants you to trust in him. Jesus also had a much greater point that he wants you and I to learn also, and that everyone to learn from this miracle. A big, greater takeaway from this miracle. It seems that the crowd missed it. We read that Jesus, knowing that they, referring to the crowd, intended to come and make him king by force, He withdrew again to the mountain by himself. The people were perhaps thinking about Moses and his reference to the prophet and how Moses had given to the people the manna from heaven, supplied for the Israelites, and the quail, and also the water gushing from the rock. And they thought, hey, here we go. Jesus is going to be our bread king to supply us with food that we need. They were forgetting that it was the Lord who really supplied all of those things for them. And Jesus had come not to be an earthly king, to be like a walking supermarket for the people, but rather, he had come to take care of a far greater need that they had. That's the point he wants you to also know. You have a far greater obstacle, a far greater challenging question in your life. What will take away your sin? What will remo-